Liverpool.
0-1.
Good.
Yes.
Right, we're back.
Yes.
We're on the air.
Yes.
It's been a few weeks.
Just a couple. We've been deep in what would you say?
Shite.
Yeah.
Conversation.
Yeah, we've been doing nothing, basically. Yeah.
Happy New Year once again.
For fuck's sake.
it was about before Christmas. But sure, we're going to finish off the crime saga now today.
Yes.
With the
No More Crime.
2021 adaptation of the novel Crime. Actually, it took them, 13 years, 14 years to do the adaptation. So we're not that far behind.
Yeah, they're a bit slow, like us.
Yes. Yeah, so any crack?
No. And yourself?
What have you been doing in a kind of an Irvine Welsh way the last few weeks or months?
Nothing.
Ah, come on. You could do better than that. Abusing any dogs?
No.
And or arses?
No. I watched the Hitch Match, if that's any good.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, did you win?
No, they were not really shy.
Okay. Well, sure. It's a start, isn't it?
Part of the course.
Mm.
And yourself? You took up heroin and lived on the streets for a while, didn't you? For a few weeks.
Just for a while in January when the month seemed very long.
How did that go?
Well, sorry, got myself sorted out and back on the road to recovery now. Thank God.
I suppose you had to wind people off again, so.
Yeah, hey, listen. If you want to soar like an eagle, you have to wank off a few pigeons.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, let's get on with this. We usually start with some Welsh news, but I don't really have any of you.
He's still alive.
He is still alive.
Is he still alive?
He's coming over here.
I
know he used to live here, but he's coming over to a festival. I don't know if I mentioned this last time, don't think so. Beyond the Pale. It's in.
You mentioned it to me.
Wicklow.
Is it?
I think.
What is it? It's one of these artsy fartsy shite ones.
They all are now, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a mixture of everything. But I believe he's doing a DJ set. For
disc jockey?
Yes.
Jesus.
Sure, no doubt. The free tickets are in the post. With who?
With Dave McFuck.
Yeah, probably, yeah. It's a plain support to him. Right. What was Dave's DJ name?
DJ Dave.
Kid Jensen or something.
What? Was it?
It was something. It wasn't Dave McAvoy.
I thought it was just Dave McAvoy.
I'm really sure he had an alternate name for a while.
Did he? All right. Yeah.
Anyway.
we digress.
We just fire on. I have no other Welsh news. Let's get into the synopses of this. When a young Edinburgh schoolgirl is abducted by... I was going to say she was abducted by D.I. Ray Lennox, but she wasn't.
No. Quite a twist at the end.
D.I. Ray Lennox, due to his own traumatic past, identifies strongly with the victim. He believes the murderer is the serial killer, Mr. Confectioner, but his bosses believe Confectioner is behind bars. Lennox's insistence that they have the wrong man puts him not just in conflict with his bosses, but also on the radar of Confectioner himself.
Yes.
So the detective is drawn into a game of
meow and mess
with the killer. Yeah, so obviously the series is based on, as we said, Welch's 2008 novel of the same name. In that, D.I. Lennox jets off to Florida with his girlfriend Trudy. And they try to recover from his breakdown over this whole case in Edinburgh. Yes. So
it's not a full adaptation, it's just...
No, it certainly isn't. We'll get into that.
It's the dreary Edinburgh bits.
Yeah, exactly. In the book features the parts in Edinburgh that are just a small chunk of the story, really. And Welsh said that it was a bit like adapting something, but it was also like writing the original stuff over because he filled in lots of gaps and had much more to do with some characters.
Did he have much to do with this?
Yeah, he's one of the screenwriters. Dougherty Scott, who stars as the rogue detective, he said that Welch and his co-writer Dean Cavana, who knows it over in England, what way to pronounce it, they expanded, focused, and imagined a lot of the story in Edinburgh. And on playing the troubled character, Scott said, it became very personal for me, and he really felt like a part of me was a part of me towards the end, and it was exhausting.
After he gets touched up.
He doesn't elaborate.
He
says it's not something that you can easily step out of when you go home at night. it's kind of constantly with you. So it does sound like he was...
What, is he a method actor?
I suppose he is, yeah. I don't know.
You should know. You know this sort of stuff.
I've never really grasped the concept of the method actor. Are they not all method actors? They're not being themselves, so that's a method, isn't it?
Yeah, but then they don't switch off on their own screen. That's what that show is.
Like Daniel Day-Lewis goes around buggering people.
The colonoscopy clinic. Oh, yeah, that's what you've gone up to.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to bring that up. Yeah, I think it's Welsh news, I suppose.
I didn't get a colonoscopy. I got the other one down the gullet. I can't remember what it's called now. I should, because I've had about 74 of them. But yeah, it's
a mouth in Ospiny.
Yes.
But whilst you were there, some other.
But indeed.
Yes.
So the word is used for both cameras, of both orifices.
Yes, in the mouth or in the anus.
Yes, which would you like? That's yes. What they say if you have reception. Yeah. Mouth or anus? Well, I said mouth, please. So the one you get down the gullet does make you, I nearly said barf. It makes you burp a bit for a while, but not long.
Mm.
Really, when they're just pulling it out, you let one big massive belch out when you're still lying there, like a dead
fish.
Yes. But the colonoscopy, you fart for a very long time.
It's a bit more intrusive.
Yes, it's a bit more intrusive, and there's a bit more of a gaseous exchange afterwards. And one of the chaps we know from down the village was in the bed beside me and was blowing his trumpet for all to hear. Quite good, and he told me that the doctor encouraged him to fart away, he said to him. And he seemed a bit distrusting of that advice for a while, but then realised it was something he could really get into.
just let it go.
Anyway, where were we? The six
shorty hole.
Let's get out of there quick.
We'd be fucking blown up quick enough.
The 6-episode series was released in the UK on the streaming service BritBox in November 2021. We don't have access to BritBox.
Oh, BritBox.
I remember us talking about it at the time that we would have to seek other methods to see this, which we did. Well, you did. I sent this to you over the Christmas in 2021.
Yeah.
You watched it all and I didn't.
I watched it all except the last one.
Yeah.
And I watched the last one about a year later.
And yeah, and it took me quite a long time to actually watch it all because, I don't know, we just stopped doing the podcast for a while, didn't we? And then it turned up on RTE here in Ireland.
Mm.
And that's when I watched it, which was a lot better because I was able to throw on the subtitles and, yeah, you know,
yeah.
Instead
yeah.
of,
yeah. Yeah.
Welch himself said that it wouldn't have worked on traditional TV. It wouldn't have worked on terrestrial TV, which is the same thing.
It was on terrestrial.
It wasn't. It was on BritBox. It was the streams. Well, let me finish. I agree with you. But we couldn't really make the show we wanted to if it had been on that. We were still, until fairly recently, stuck in these sort of dark ages of everything that has to be BBC, ITV, Channel 4. And we have got platforms now that we can do things in a different way. I think it opens up drama. I think drama in this country, TV drama, will come of age now. I disagree with him there.
He's talking shite.
It's been edgy stuff on Channel 4 for quite a long time.
It wasn't no different.
It wasn't really now.
Thing at all.
He said the luxury of the streaming service platform meant that it could get into the character-driven drama much more quickly than programmes like Line of Duty. It just, he's talking shite here.
Absolutely shite. Yeah.
I got into Line of Duty a lot quicker than I got into this.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind the characters he picked, bro.
Look, we'll get into it. It was co-written, as we said, by Dean Cavanagh, father of Terry. Suppose we name drop on this podcast and people don't know who the hell we're talking about, but for me, Terry's pretty much famous now.
Is he?
Yeah. He's, you know, in the McGregor family, more or less.
Did he adopt him?
Well, he's marrying, isn't he?
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Fair play.
He is indeed. Dean Cavanagh, a novelist, playwright, and former Acid House musical artiste and promoter. He's collaborated with Welch many times. Most recently, before this, was on Creation Stories, the Alan McGee story that we covered.
I can see where this is. Yeah, I can see where this is. A brilliant combo.
But he's also worked with him on films Wedding Bells and Good Arrows, both of which we've to cover on this podcast. But we will.
Chitté Bang Bang.
No, he did work on Chitté. Chitté Bang Bang. He also did the play Babylon Heights with Welch and the short films Dose and Nuts. Nuts.
Oh, yes.
I like the sound of. Not in a physical sense, but you know. It's set in Dublin, so we will come back to that one. The first three episodes were directed by a chap called James Strong, who has Doctor Who on his CV. Also Broadchurch, which was pretty popular. Remember it? David Tennant. And I've seen he also directed a couple of episodes of the Stephen King adaptation 11/22/63, which was quite good.
Was it?
Yes.
What was it about?
It's about a fella that discovers a time-traveling diner.
Diner,
yes. He goes in, sits in the diner, and he goes back in time. And he goes back to just before JFK was assassinated and decides to stop the said assassination.
It's a bit like that one that Rodney was in. Nicholas, what's his name?
Oh, Good Night, Sweetheart.
Absolute shite, yeah.
I suppose it's a bit like that. It's a bit like Back to the Future as well, because that was in the diner sometimes.
That was good.
Ah, come on, compared to some of the bollocks today, including what we're about to talk about.
Yeah, we're going to give out with that too.
Let's talk about Back to the Future 3.
Yes. Was there Back to the Future 4?
No. All right. There was not. There was a cartoon.
Yeah. Not getting it now because he's
just got Parkinson's.
Yeah, shaking like fuck.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be able to handle the car or anything. He'd fucking crash into the fucking anyway.
Or he was doing that anyway.
Yeah, but that's when he had his full faculties.
You just let the doc drive or the dog.
The doc's about 1,000 at this stage.
So you're all excited about Back to the Future coming back.
Well, if they get their car, I want to watch it, I suppose.
For the car crash, literally. Yeah. And the last three episodes were directed by David Blair. And
Tony's brother.
Yes. Who has directed a lot of Jimmy McGovern stuff in the past, like The Lakes, The Street, and Accused.
Everything with the.
Lots of
blah. He loves the Facebooks.
It's not called The Accused, though. It's just called Accused.
Better off if they said
it's quite good. The Lakes was, I only watched that, a repeat of that recently. It's very dated.
Mm.
Screaming 1990s, so was. Do you remember?
The 90s.
Well, I know, yeah.
Sorry.
No, The Lakes, did you?
No, never seen.
Fair enough.
I don't watch any of the shit either.
No, I know you don't. So yeah, let's move on to The Breakdown.
Okay.
And I suppose we'll talk about it. We're not going to go through each episode of this. Six episodes, my God. That's one of the big things about this. It's far too long. But we'll just talk about some of the cast, the main cast, because there is a long cast. And trust me, I went through all this cast, and I'll stop saying cast now. I went through them all on IMDb, and my God, there's a lot of them. Mostly just to see if they'd been in previous Welch stuff.
Or Tigers.
Of which, so, well, yeah, I even gave up on that, because rest assured about 94% of the cast was in Taggart. Of course they were. And not least, the star here, Dougray Scott, he was in Taggart. He was also in Twin Town, do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was all right.
That was good.
It was the first thing I remember seeing him in.
Although, I haven't seen that since the night when I was out.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's going to scream 90s at us as well.
It could be awful as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I might watch it again.
We might cover on this.
Exactly, yeah. It's the same
story. Start branching out.
They said it was the Trainspotting from Welsh Trainspotting.
They said that about so many films after Trainspotting. Another one will come up here soon enough.
Back in the Future 4.
Yeah. He was also the main villain in Mission Impossible 2, which was a pretty big gig for him at the time. It's well over 20 years ago now.
There's too many Mission Impossible.
Gotcha. He's much older than he was in Filt, obviously.
Ooh.
I think in the book it was, what, was it even 10 years after?
Yeah.
Can't remember what we said. About 10 years, but he seems a lot older in this.
Yeah.
But strangely, the rest of the cast around them don't seem to have aged.
Yeah, well, they say he's only late 30s in this, I think.
Do they?
Yeah. No way. But he looks...
Clearly, he has to be in his 50s, yeah, this lad.
And the rest.
But I mean, your one, Amanda, was about his age, maybe a little bit younger in the film Filth.
Yeah.
And in the book.
Mm.
And she's younger in this.
Again, just...
there's actually no mention of the events of Filth in this, which I suppose it doesn't serve any purpose because it's not classed as a sequel, and it kind of it whitewashes his actions in that film, isn't it? Namely, facilitating the pedo Robbo. It was obviously mentioned that, you know, he's an alco and cokehead, or
very fond of coke.
Absolutely, goes to a lot of meetings. His own abuse story, then sexual abuse, is hinted at through kind of mini flashbacks as the episodes go on. It's not really fully revealed till the last episode, though. But we'll go back to El Dougherty. Speaking of your one, Amanda Drummond, she's played by Joanna Vanderham.
She loves ham and Valens.
The only thing I remember seeing her in is this thing called The Control Room, which was also set in Scotland. That was all right. That's about as much as I can say about her.
What is she? She's a woman, obviously. She's actually Scottish.
She is Scottish, yeah. Most of the cast here are Scottish, in fairness.
It's not an overly Scottish name.
No. She's an attractive lady.
She was also in The Boy with the Top Knot.
She's a very good actress, possibly. She's all right in this. She doesn't have a lot to do, let's face it.
She's fuck all to do in this,
They actually try and tag
she
on.
She just walks around looking miserable and following him.
Yeah, although, she's just this kind of...
if you're hanging around with him, you'll be feeling miserable.
Just trying to keep him on the straight and narrow.
Yeah, he's 57.
Fucking hell. Yeah, she's just trying to keep him on the straight and narrow, much like she was with Robbo in Filth. And they do tag on a little kind of side story for her in the last episode where an abusive ex comes into it.
Oh, yeah.
And looking at IMDb, the fella that's playing him seems to be in the new series as well. So obviously that's
going to finish
business.
Yeah.
Next up, one of the highlights maybe of the show, El Dougie Gilman.
Dougie.
Played here by Jamie Seeves.
Sives, looks like.
Of course he's in Taggart. He was also in Game of Thrones for a while.
He looks a bit cockeyed.
Does he?
But not on the... When he was on the screen, he did.
Maybe they CGI'd his cock. Yeah. Or his eye. he kind of, you know, he provides comic relief in this a lot of time, but he is also, you know, kind of represents the type of man that Lennox despises. I mean, we know they've had a falling out.
Although he was one of those men.
Yeah, he's a different type of character than he was in Filth. I suppose every one of the kind of supporting characters in Filth were just cannon fodder for Robbo, but in this he has a bit more to do. Sometimes pointlessly, but
the bit when his voice is good.
Where you just can't get it up.
No, where she's breaking up with him and she goes to tell him to fuck off.
Oh.
And he's there, well, if you want to get back with me in Zara, I'm telling you to fuck off. Fuck you then, I don't care.
He's kind of almost a mixture of Begbie and fucking Robbo from Filth himself, really.
He is,
They really push the whole racist, homophobic, misogynistic fucking card hard with this lad. There was this incident in Thailand with him and Lennox as well. Yeah. Again, he doesn't look as old. Let's say this chap's about our age, the actor.
He's not as old as fucking...
No, he couldn't be. Actually, now that you mention it, I'd be interested to see...
49.
49, okay. Oh, yeah. Nearer us than he is, old fucking Dougherty. Dougherty's fucking probably not much older than the next man I'm going to mention here, El Ken Stott, who plays the Chief.
The Chief. He's 67.
67, yeah. So 10 years older.
He's only fucking eight.
Bob Toyle. A good character. So this is always this kind of stereotypical police chief.
Yeah, gotcha.
But I think Ken Stott tries to play him a bit more seriously in this than the fella who was playing him. John Sessions played him in Filth. But at times it doesn't actually work because he's crying at times. If ever a man represented stress in the workplace, it's this man.
He didn't look healthy at all.
He's counting.
In fact, in real life, he doesn't look healthy either.
He's counting the days till his retirement in this. Ken Stott is good. I was convinced he was in Taggart, but I was convinced he had a much bigger role in Taggart. But apparently, I looked him up. He was in it, but not for too long. The big thing I remember him in was Messiah. Remember that?
No.
It was a BBC. I know I mentioned a lot of shit on here, but Messiah is really, really good. It's kind of an English version of the film Seven.
Oh, right, very good.
Best way I can describe it.
I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, well, you should. But you probably did years ago. I remember having it on a VHS tape, so it probably landed up in your gaff at one point.
He's in what you call it, The Lord of the Rings.
The Hobbit.
The Hobbit.
Yeah. He does look a bit like One of those things.
Dwarfs?
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah, he
does. Maybe his name should be Ken Stout. Or what's now? Stout. Ken Stout. Either of those work, really.
They're roll off the tongue. Good boy.
Angela Griffin plays Robbo's girlfriend, Trudy. She's played by your one from Coronation Street.
Yeah, that's all I remember from.
When I looked her up, she was in Coronation Street for fucking decades.
Yeah.
Like, a fair play.
She's 46.
For her. Yeah, she was a good looking woman, still is, but she does look kind of in her 40s, I would say, in fairness to her.
Time catches up with us all, though.
Oh, it does.
Unfortunately.
It
does.
I suppose, look, she's grand in this, yeah. You know. She has a whole, I'm going to get into all these kind of distracting side stories in this, but
Didn't seem to fit as a couple, though, so.
No, definitely not.
Not in any way.
Definitely not.
Not in any way. It was just a bit weird.
Yeah. But I mean, just the fact that there's so many actresses and actors that break out of soaps and fair play from, but
yeah.
She was in that for so long, it's just, you're never going to look at her any differently than one of Steve McDonald's
lovers.
67 wives.
Her and Fizz.
I don't think he was with Fizz, was he?
He wrote everyone. Even his mother, I'd say.
He's very much the Murph of Coronation Street.
Walking around the streets.
With his Mickey out.
Hey, Kyle Walker.
Look away, we could say Murph and that could be anyone. There's no slander to be involved there. Could be talking about Spud Murphy from Trainspotting.
True.
And where are we? John Sim, who plays the horrible villain paedophile in this, Mr. Confectioner.
John Sim.
He's in loads of shit. He was in Life on Mars is probably his big thing.
He doesn't show up,
will
you?
He doesn't show up until he's in the last
episode. No, he didn't show up when he looked up there.
Oh, is he not?
No.
Well, he doesn't show up in this either until episode 3 or 4. But
his wonky eye.
Yeah, he was in The Lakes, the Jimmy McGovern thing. He was in that 24-hour Party People film. He played old Bernard Sumner from New Order.
Oh.
Yeah, he was in, this is the dreadful Trainspotting ripoff that I mentioned before, Human Traffic. Do you remember that? For the Roll on E.
No.
Danny Dyer's film debut. All right, Giza. It's one of the worst films I've ever seen in my life. I cannot believe it has the cult status that it does.
Well,
it's dreadful. Anyway, he's brilliant in this. Like for someone that's playing a filthy paedophile, he is quite good.
He plays
good.
Well.
Yeah. He's mostly played good guys in the things I've seen, so it was kind of interesting. It's always good when you see someone like that take on a villain role.
Oh, horsey.
Horsey, yeah. It's some of the shit that he says in this is obviously horrible. Yeah, so there's nasty stuff in here. Really and truly, the core story is really around him and fucking Ray. So, and they kind of get to that in the later episodes. I mean, the whole stuff with they basically capture him before. They capture him before.
Well, and that's he gives himself
up. He kind of does, yeah.
He definitely does. Not kind of. He gives it
away. Well, okay. But, what the point is that he's in custody. It's almost like a Hannibal Lecter type thing where he's playing these mind games while he's in custody. And then it's revealed that he has another kid somewhere, which that definitely wasn't in the book. I suppose there's a lot of shit to kind of make up here because when that young one from America is not even in this show.
No.
Tiana. Yeah. She doesn't exist. So it's that whole kind of odd couple thing that they had going in the book between Lennox and her, they have to try and make up for that somehow.
Thank God they didn't.
Well, he kind of has this kind of spiritual bond with the dead girl, doesn't he? He keeps talking to her. You have this kind of race against time then where he's trying to find out where this other girl is and break the codes that the confectioner has given him. The bit where he's finally going to capture, to rescue her from the water and all. It's kind of just to add a bit of action towards the end, isn't it? I mean, the real ending, which, we get to, is all about the abuse and his personal
demons
journey. Yeah. I suppose there's closure to the confectioner saga with all that. I suppose, ironically, he sees, how fucking painful all this is for how he's able to wind Lennox up. Mm. So he kind of guesses that he was an abuse victim himself and uses that against him.
Quick enough for
it. Yeah. And then you have this weird shift where he touches him on his Mickey. Yeah. Don't know if that's more evident in this than it was in the book.
Yeah.
You don't see a raging stonker in his pants or anything like that.
No, it is alluded to.
It, slightly, yeah. But I suppose it does allow, eventually lead to fucking confectioner opening up about the crimes and where the other girls are buried and so on. So
they're getting battered.
Yeah, well, that's one of the good bits towards the end. But the only other person I want to mention here, because there's some of the cast here, anyone that's involved in the side stories, I'm sorry, I'm not going to mention them because, yeah. The only one I want to mention is his shrink, because she was in Breaking Bad. Yep. So there you go. Laura Fraser is her name. She is actually English, obviously playing a Yankee in Breaking Bad. But yeah, I suppose the differences between that and the novel, as you say, it's not set in Miami, so there's no big movie feel. There's definitely no sun. No alligators.
No.
Ginger's in it, though.
Ginger.
We'll get to Ginger in a sec, I suppose. This kind of weird... Yeah, Trudy's fucking side story. So they spend an awful lot of time with this sexual harassment in the workplace stuff.
It's a fucking weird one.
I don't know what way this is going to...
Yeah.
There's so many red herrings in this. And I know they do that in a lot of these kind of crime dramas where they have a few episodes. But you're not aware that's going for a while. Mm. And then it just turns out to be kind of a straightforward sexual harassment case. She sees it being done to another younger employee and helps her out, and and she headbutts your man.
She wants to know, but
I suppose that was more, I think, almost put in as a Me Too like statement. It's nothing to do with this. It's certainly nothing to do with the book.
Nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. So just to give Trudy something to do.
But she could have got that over in 20 minutes of the first episode.
Big time, yeah. Big time. And that's happened quite a lot. I mean, as I say, Dougie, he does add a lot of comic relief with his problems in the sack and his trips to the brothel.
Yeah, they never. It builds up that they're going to do them or stitch them up. But
yeah,
they never do.
They never do. The only thing that seems to serve is, you know, this kind of utter ridiculous side story where there was two French people killed.
Yeah.
And for a while you think, well,
good. Something to do with that.
Yeah. And it's not. And they're bringing over your man, the French copper.
Who the fuck are you?
Louis LeBlanc is the character's name. I didn't take down his credentials from IMDb, but...
That was stupid.
They try and create this, again, this kind of funny, odd couple between him and Doogie. It just... I don't think it works.
No.
I do like... there's one bit where Ray is kind of checking with Doogie. Does he think that the murders might be anyway connected to, you know, Brittany's death or whatever, and he goes, no ways. The froggies just went off courting and things got a bit too carried away when he was turning off her gas and she croaked. Once that happened, he just says, I'll top myself too. There's another good bit, you know, where they arrest your man, the lawyer.
Yeah.
And sorry, is he a lawyer? No, he's a politician. Richie Gulliver. So he's the politician. He has a much bigger role in the second series, or the book, The Long Knives. But he's in this. Again, he's another red herring. Mm. That he's been shagging somebody, having gay relations with... is it your man? Yeah. Sorry.
As you see, we're
it's very fucking complicated. It shouldn't be, but it is. So Brittany's mother was kind of seeing this bloke. Cornell, is it?
Cornell, yeah.
But he's a pervert as well, and he has a kind of a sex dungeon with this politician.
Oh, yeah.
And they find something in his house that connects him to the politician. So they're both suspects in Brittany's murder for a while. But it, again, turns out to be a fucking dead end. But when they have your man, the politician, in custody, his lawyer comes, but Ray wants the lawyer stalled. So he tells Doogie to, or fucking, yeah, Doogie Gilman to bring him around the long way. So he just keeps bringing him around the building where there's all these works going on, and fucking starts using all these racist comments. And he eventually gets to a door that won't open, but he said, this door won't open. And Dougie says, come on, give it a bit of welly, pull it like you're pulling a person of color off your sister. Like, what the fuck? Like, that just leads to nothing. They solve the fucking French people's murder, and the French detective heads back to France
with his little briefcase, with his little fucking suitcase.
Yeah. And it's nothing to do with this overall story.
Liverpool lost.
Lovely. Fantastic. Little sidestep there. Another distracting side story. In Liverpool's roller coaster season.
Zing.
Yeah, so the Lennox family story. That is in the book, so. But some of it is, again, ridiculous. Like, the whole stuff with the brother. Okay, he's bisexual. There's a bit where he goes to an orgy, isn't there? Or tries to go to an orgy. But, like, again, it leads nowhere. You have all this stuff where he kind of slags Ray, you know, because he's a copper. Yeah. And then the stuff with the dad.
Sure, they're getting on great then.
Yeah, they get on great. They're certainly getting on great when they're doing coke in the hearse or whatever on the way to the funeral. But the stuff with the dad, obviously, the mother has the affair with the dad's friend
Uncle Jock or something.
Yeah. And that was in the book, in fairness, and that kind of led to emotional, psychological damage to Ray, to this. But that was all when he was younger. This is, he's a 57 or whatever. But it just goes on far too long, you know, the father's death, and it's just all to pile on more grief and trauma.
It's fucking enough misery in that.
But there really is.
Jesus
Christ. Dougie Scott has a lot to deal with here. I didn't write her down here, actually, but his sister is played by Irvin Welch's wife.
Is it?
Yeah. God, what's her name again?
Mrs. Welch.
Yeah, well, it is now, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember the woman's name. I'm terribly sorry.
Fenton.
Irvin, I know you're listening. I'm sorry. Can't remember your wife's name. But yeah, some of the loose ends, or dead ends, I should say, do serve a purpose. Like, does your man, the old cretin, Tommy Loughran.
Emma Curry.
Yes, that's her. Jesus, that last gulp of coffee was stone cold.
Stober.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you know, remember the old fucker who's on the oxygen? The old pedo who he actually witnesses Britney being abducted.
Yeah, yeah.
So I suppose there is a point to him because he's a witness. There is that good scene where they go to interrogate him and your one steps on his oxygen.
Oh, yeah.
But,
he was a dirty old bollocks.
Yeah, he certainly was. He was in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, he was the red... was the father, wasn't he?
The Red Ape.
No, he's from Barriosa.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's not from the park, no?
Well, no, they're from Barriosa.
Sorry, folks, for a bit of local knowledge there.
The Red Ape, he's nothing to do with the Black Duck. He's a different guy.
Anyway. Or the Whistling Pig.
Or the Pig is a pub.
Or the Smoking Goat.
That's a food place. The Black Duck and the Red Ape are people.
Okay. There's a lot of animals in the town, isn't there?
There is. A lot of fucking animals. Goffini.
Yak.
Yeah.
Yak. That's what's right. We could nearly do a podcast just on some of the names. There was shite.
Shite.
It's not an animal, but it does come out with them.
Cabbage.
Some animals eat them.
Sprout.
Is there a sprout?
His younger brother was called Sprout.
I didn't know that.
Did you not?
Brilliant. Anyway. And then the other kind of dead end is the bloke that is already locked up and who some people, including the chief, think was Mr. Confectioner, Robert Ellis, a particularly seedy bastard who likes to masturbate in cemeteries. But there is a point to him because he actually met Mr. Confectioner while he was masturbating at a graveside, basically. Just kind of nice night for us, probably. But yeah, the other one's like, as I said, Britney's mom's boyfriend and then his... Oh, the father, yeah. We'll get to him, definitely. The granddad, he was definitely a fucking dead end. But I suppose he had a dead cat in his house. Yeah, that was very distressing. That must have been horrendous living in there. And not knowing.
Yeah. You're down pretty low if you don't like that. Fucking hell.
But you remember when they were following up on the boyfriend's workplace? He's away somewhere skiing or something ridiculous like that. Doesn't come into it for an episode or two. But they go to his office and meet his boss, and he's this weird fucker who keeps asking Lennox about being a copper, and then pulls out this manuscript.
Oh, yeah.
And you read me manuscript, which I suppose is a bit like Bob Toyle in Filth.
Yeah.
But his manuscript got burnt. But that was pointless as well. Like, I thought that was going to lead to your man having clues in the book that he was the killer or whatever, but I don't know. Anyway. And then, of course, the last red herring, I think, it was about 17 of them. Your man, the weirdo who came in and confessed to the murders.
Yeah.
That killed another half an hour or so. Like, I don't know what else we need to talk about as regards to the story here. You know, the whole stuff at the end with...
the friend in the... What was it, man? Two of the views.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember his name. Lenny.
Ray Wilson.
Was it Lenny? That doesn't sound right.
Lenny and Carol.
Barney. Why did I tell him he took down that fucker's name?
Tristan. Sure, he was in the fucking last book.
I know he was, but that doesn't mean I remember the cunt.
Well, you remember all sorts of shit, I don't.
I don't remember that.
I don't even know who was in the book, you know.
But I suppose, yeah, one of the half clever things in it is that the whole investigation into confectioner brings up this trauma again for Ray, and in a weird way leads to him getting closure and that, because he contacts his mate Lenny again. And
Lenny just turns up at the funeral.
Does he, yeah?
The mother to him.
There's a scene where he goes off with him and they're sitting on a bench. And
yeah, but that was after the funeral. He ran out, he went mental at the mother at the funeral. And off, and your man followed him. So I'm talking about getting boned and all this stuff.
Yes, and then you get the whole kind of flashback to it.
It was just great.
It was very grim, yeah.
Fucking grim.
I mean, that was obviously in the book, but there was more closure in the book because he was able to, I suppose it's similar to this.
He went around shouting.
Yeah, but he was able to help Tiana, you know, so he had that to get comfort. And I suppose he does help the other young one who's in the water. And they had to have somebody dead, they had to have somebody saved. So it was the luck of the draw, really. That's kind of it. I suppose let's do our favourite bits, James.
This should be
sure. Come on, you must have loads of them. One of the kind of funny things that I liked in it was when El Ginger was introduced. He doesn't look like how you pictured him in the book.
Big fat party animal.
Yes, indeed. But in this, he obviously hasn't retired and moved to America yet. But he has piles. He's given out about his piles sitting in the car. And then when they confront some fucker at steps, he gets thrown onto a railings and as luck would have it, straight inserted into his anus. You'd have to have somebody getting something inserted into their anus in a Irvine Welsh.
Trying to Hollywood down.
While shooting up heroin. And then you kind of get this weird mixture of really deep quotes from El Dougherty, usually in his kind of narrating. That's another thing. I know we mentioned it before, but sometimes the inner monologues, the narrating just doesn't work. I know it's to kind of get across what was said on page without saying it out loud in the fucking show, but sometimes it just doesn't work.
Just leave it on the page.
Like, he has some good quotes the odd times. One of the ones that I remember was, there are souls on the road to hell and they only want to drag more souls with them, which is quite deep. But then there's other times where he's snorting the coke in his car and going, Lord, give me the strength to catch this fucking nonce as I snort this line right up my hooter, which is quite memorable. I love the bit where he's chasing your man, Cornell. Come here, you fanny. What's your favourite bit, Jim?
When Dougie gets his hand on Mr. Confectioner.
Just one hand.
Bolt.
That is quite good, in fairness.
Back as the shilly down.
And that's probably the best bit of closure in the whole show. Yeah. So what's he do? Stuffs a rag in his mouth.
He had something. I was off the trailer park boys today and
at the same time.
No, the cop beat the shit out of Mr. Lane, Phil Collins, and Randy with fucking phone books. His phone books never leave a fucking mark. So they're beating the shit out of the phone books. But I don't think this happened in this one.
No.
He had a sucker or something.
I thought he stuffed the rag into his mouth and was just kind of...
But he had something, some weapon where he could hit him that wouldn't leave a mark.
Okay, right.
I can't remember what it was.
Do you think that's true about phone books?
Well, we should find out.
Shouldn't you do a little experiment, yeah? Bags being the person with the phone book.
I was thinking, get Leb Kelly or something, batter the head off with it.
I don't know if bruises are going to show there. Any come where do you?
Let's do it.
Give the phone book to a dog to beat him around with. But yeah, that's our favourite bits. Worst bits.
Jeez.
Apart from all the nonce abductions and dead children.
And the storyline.
Well, the dragged out storyline. That's the worst part. Is the
constant where he's either taking coke or he's sitting there thinking about it. There's so much angst. It's just there. Oh, fuck off.
Sometimes, I think I mentioned it. Sometimes Dougherty, he'd be better off nearly saying nothing.
Yeah.
You know, he can master a good look and stare, but, you know, the silence is golden sometimes. The thing I hated was this crack. I mean, it's slightly different to what it was in the book, because when he keeps repeating these football stats as a kind of coping mechanism, which he obviously did when he was a kid, but I don't think he did that in the book. I know he mentions a lot of Hibs shit in the book, and he
was just going on to that fucking
he's forum. Going on to that forum.
That was
yeah.
his about Hibs, yeah.
But this, like, is not something that anyone would say unless they, you know,
romantic. Fucked. Pretty much.
As I say, you'd be better off just not saying stuff out loud at times. But yeah, in fairness, is once he get his descent into, once he's on the drink and drugs, he's almost the better character, which yes, they always are, of course. Right on, my heater. Okay, so that's our worst parts as well. Connecting lines. My little Doogie Gilman now, not Doogie Scott. Doogie Gilman was also in Wedding Bells, which we've yet to cover, but we will.
Can't wait.
Tam Dean Byrne, who played Britney's grandfather, he was one of the Doyles in Acid House, the nutball. But he also narrates all the audiobooks.
Oh, that's him.
That's him, and has done probably more stage production performances of Welsh than anyone else in the business. Ginger was played by Gordon Kennedy. I did recognise his face, but he was also in Terminator 2. Trainspotting 2. He's one of the lads in the nip at the start that Sick Boy was blackmailing.
Oh, right. Well, there's a few of them.
There was a few of them. And I think you recognised somebody else as well, James, didn't you?
Did it? Your man Tambo was in it, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. What was his name? Simon Weir. He was in it, yeah. He played a character called Miles Cone.
What?
And I can't remember what he did. He was only in one episode, though, in fairness to him.
All right.
So, yeah. There you go. I suppose overall thoughts then, James. What do you think?
Shite.
And we leave it at that?
Yeah, it was just grim. But there was no...
Why am I wearing both of these? I'm only realising I'm lucky I can hear you.
Yeah. You're better off not. No, it was too grim. It was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Even, like, the fact that he gave himself up halfway through it, so they weren't even chasing him. It was just...
Yeah, why did he give himself up?
Yeah.
Just sick of her.
Well, like, then he wanted to. What? You could have played with your man by just sending him letters or something like that, but you wanted to piss out the vocal and feel his Mickey.
Well, you can't feel a Mickey through a letter, well, as so. You always say. Yeah, I suppose from my own point of view, it's definitely too long.
Yep.
Like, this would have been much better if it was just a three-parter.
Yep.
Cut out all that shit with the side everything. Stories. Well, stuff. Catching him, fair enough, and the stuff with him, I don't mind that. But, you know, they could have got to that a lot sooner.
Yeah.
It just plods along.
It's really slow.
I think it's ironic that old Irvin mentions how they were able to make a difference on the streaming platform to what you'd normally see on terrestrial TV, because this screamed, you know, weekday night crime drama from ITV.
Yeah.
Nothing jumps out at you at all as much as I wanted it to, and... As I say, the side stories like the French murders or
the sexual
harassment stuff with the missus, it's just distracting, you know. And don't get me wrong, there's an important message there with, you know, Trudy and standing up to her boss and all the rest, but just dragged it out far too much.
Need a bit of a comic relief, for sake.
Well, yeah, and that was the weird thing about it. The only comic relief in it is from one of the most fucking repulsive character, Sal Gilman.
Yeah.
But I suppose that's the case a lot of the times with Welsh stuff, isn't it? He's, you know, he is one of the highlights. I think he's played well. Doogie himself is good, but, you know, it's just too on the nose at times with the whole deep inner monologues. They just get far too cheesy. And as I say, he'd be better off with more limited talking at times. Because, I mean, essentially the show is just about him, you know.
Cracking him up.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Exactly. So, marks out of 5.
Fucking glad I don't have to watch that shit again.
Out of 5.
Either a half or one.
Go with a half, why not?
Go with a half. I was really short, way too long.
Yeah, I can't.
Like, remember. At least even with the films you didn't enjoy, it's just a film you get it over with.
Yeah.
That was.
Yeah.
What was it? It was near reach, was it? Or pretty much.
Not far off.
Not far off, so.
Yeah.
5.5, 6 hours of that fucking shit.
So you're looking forward to series 2 then?
Oh, fuck, I hope it.
Okay, so a half for James. I'd probably give it 2 based on...
Just 2 is a pass.
2
is 40%.
Okay, 1.5.
That's more like it.
You've talked me down. The first time in a while you've done that. But yeah, so there you go. We finally have the paedophiles in our rear view mirror.
Hey, fuck.
Which some people would be uncomfortable about. But at least they're behind us.
That's not great either.
From a distance. And that's it. What we're going to do next, who knows?
Mm.
But thanks for listening. And again,
greasy trouser.
Yeah, we might branch out and start including stuff that, you know, just mentions buggering or drugs.
Mm. If any of us haven't seen a Greasy Strangler, just watch it.
Yeah, definitely.
And then we'll decide.
We should do Greasy Strangler, Cocaine Bear.
Yes, upstairs.
See what happens after that.
Indeed.
But sure, that's it for this year. See you now next year.
Happy Christmas.